我觉得你的鸡蛋，但你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的鸡蛋，你的 ki mulam di tsaba na titramali tamji chokze yong tratam chun la tisam tsenye ji sanji jamsu, shenab jamsu na krewa jamsu, shujan rabden jigus waji da dirji ku tenla jige shakji dirji tongna nyamba jiva di na yin jige shak dir charaba riri tendu shakji na jiba dir charaba riri tendu yong mara jige tenda titramali chaklam titramali tamji chokze yong nga su tui tsemu jige chong tsamgo jige dir charaba tamu yin na wada tila jigde ngin diwa tuji sanji, mamu tuji sanji ただ、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時、その時
aspiration to also see the pure fields. Now, previously we said that in one atom one can perceive all the Buddhas that exist, but now one goes a step further to perceive all the pure fields that exist. It says in verse number 29, thus also in the expanse of a single hair, there is a notion of as many Buddhas as they exist in the three times in every direction, without exception, and there is a notion of pure fields, and for a notion of eons, may I thoroughly engage in the practice of this conduct. So prior we were saying that how on every single atom one can see millions and inexhaustible number of Buddhas, but here also we're talking about the Buddha fields that one can perceive in all the 10 directions, and all of them can actually, they exist in every single atom. And the example that we have here is that at the tip of a single hair, one can perceive all the Buddha fields. And in every Buddha field, this Buddha field is completely filled by Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So one perceives inconceivable number of Buddha fields, which is completely filled with a notion of Buddhas. And these Buddhas, they are not just the Buddhas of the present, let's say, but it says here, it's that they are the Buddhas of the three times, right? So we have a notion of fields filled with a notion of Buddhas of the three times, and I'm able to engage in this practice, I'm able to behold them, not for a short time, but for a notion of time.
Oji da dinda yin ba yin du ji da da ji ge ngama ji ge so shu ge ga ni chang ji ji xian ram jam jam su si ji dang di dinda ge ru di oji dan chok ge zhi ki xian da li xiang zhen ji ge so shu la ni ba de su ji ge zan bu lian de ma xiao yin ben chok ge zhi ki xian dinda ji la ma tu san ji ne ma san ge di yu di ni da dan da ge de sa la ni ben ba ba de su ma ji ge ge zhe go long ki xian
And there is actually a difference of the type of the bodies of the Buddhas that Bodhisattvas perceive on different levels, because we said also that the Buddhas are on the path of accumulation and the path of preparation, they perceive an ocean of Buddhas and Buddha fields and so forth, but what they perceive is supreme emanation bodies that have come into this world. But here when we talk about Arya Bodhisattvas, what they perceive is the complete enjoyment bodies. So there's a difference in the bodies of the type of the bodies of the Buddhas that is perceived.
Or you that in a yin by yin do that, Johnson, so you'll be, or that tricky, tricky, and begin the zone, you in chocolate, tricky, and jerk, you are. Or you the Johnson Baba, Johnson Baba, the zoo, you, and Kurishan Baba, Shataka, Kurvasi, long kitchen, the dinner yin by yin do, or that dinner, which you by yin do that, somebody you will need somebody, Sanji, 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 San Song
So keep in your mind that actually the difference between what bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation and preparation perceive is the supreme emanation bodies, and the fact that Arya bodhisattvas perceive the actual enjoyment body. That's an important difference. Now, as we move further down on the third subcategory, where we have engaging the speech of the Buddha, on verse 30, we have to keep in mind that the speech will be the speech of the enjoyment body of the Buddha, and this why it will be characterized by these particular qualities that are described on verse 30. It says, with the language of a notion of melodious qualities contained in a single word, all conquerors speak with the pure qualities of melodiousness. This melodiousness is in accordance with the thoughts of all migrators. May I always engage in listening and hearing the speech of the Buddha. So, as I say, here we're dealing with a speech that is produced, emanated from the enjoyment body. And the characteristic of this is that in one single word contains the melodiousness and the wisdom and the blessing of all the conquerors, of all the Buddhas, in one single word. And these words actually go out and are perceived exactly according to the needs of different migrators, in accordance with their thoughts, with their predispositions, in accordance with their mentality and their aspiration. And each one of those beings, as they hear these words of the emanation body, with this characterized by this melodiousness, they're capable to comprehend the words, to comprehend the meanings behind the words, and take this deeply into their hearts, into their minds. So the wish that concludes this verse is, may I always engage in such activities, in hearing this speech of the Buddha. The fourth one is engaging the turning of the Dharma wheels of the Tathagatas. Verse 31 reads, I will also thoroughly engage through the strength of my mind in the inexhaustible melody of the speech of all conquerors coming during the three times, and thoroughly turning the modes of the wheel of Dharma. And we have to make a distinction here between this verse and the previous verse, because the previous verse was mainly referring to always listening to the words of the Dharma, but here we have moved into another level. Here the actual aspiration is that not only would one hear these words, but that one always comprehend the meaning of these words. Therefore, the wish that realizations will be generated in one's mind, that those things will be understood. And if the meaning of the words is understood, it means that the all these words of the teaching will never be forgotten. So all of this, of course, happens through the strength of one's mind, through the strength of one's karma. One develops certain this particular strength of wisdom, of concentration, and so forth, that allows one to do that. Now we come to the fifth one, which is engaging the aeons. And in this particular one, we will see that the aspiration of the Bodhisattva is to be able, let's say, to extract the blessing and the benefit of activities of Buddhas that can last for many aeons, and extract that and receive it in one single moment. Or do the opposite, in one moment offer the blessings that will last for many eons. And when we talk about eons, we're talking about hundreds of years, we're talking about very long periods of time. Verse number 32 says, I can even enter in an instance in all future eons. Whatever is the measure of the eons of the three times, I practice entering them in a fraction of one instance. So imagine that you are capable in one instance to receive all the blessings of having met the Buddhas, of having come in contact with their teachings, with their speech, with their presence, with their enlightened activities. To be able to do that in one instance, to enter all the future eons and extract that benefit. Or, on the other hand, to understand that in one single moment, the blessing of many eons can be bestowed in one moment and last for many eons. All of this, of course, it is done through the power of one's primordial awareness. Through the strength of that, one can practice entering the eons. And it says here to enter that not just in a second, but as it says, in a fraction of an instance.
Now
The next one, number six, is beholding the Tathagatas and engaging the object of their practice. So verse number 33 says, in an instant I behold all lions of men coming in the three times, and I enter through the strength of illusory emancipation in the objects of their practice. So again, we're talking about a very short period of time. In an instant, in a fraction of the time, one is able to behold, which means one is able to directly see the Buddhas of the three times. And as one is able to perceive all these Buddhas, one is actually receiving the blessings that come from these Buddhas. The blessings of the Buddhas come in the form of miraculous activities of body, speech, and their mind. And all of this can be perceived through the power, through the strength of one's concentration. Through the strength of this, of one's concentration, one can receive the blessings and enter in what is called this illusory emancipation, a type of liberation of the bodhisattvas, entering in this way all of their practices. The next one, number seven, is actually establishing the Buddha fields. Verse number 34 says, moreover, I arrange the pure fields of the three times. I actually establish them on a single atom. Thus I enter the arrangement of the fields of the conquerors in all directions without exception. We had a similar verse prior. It was verse 28, in which case one was perceiving various pure fields of the Buddhas. And the pure fields of the Buddhas that one was perceiving previously were fields that were established through other Buddhas, through the concentration, through the powers, through the blessing of other Buddhas. But in here, what is one doing is actually purifying and establishing the pure field within which one will attain one's own enlightenment. So this is purification of one's own pure field. And although one might understand that one does not have the full capacity, the full powers, the full potential of the Buddhas to establish such a field and to totally purify it, nevertheless, one can have the aspiration, one can have the faith that one is getting closer to do that. And the more one believes that one has the power to do that, and one more develops one's concentration and one's enthusiastic effort, the closer one becomes to establishing that. So we can see here how it says that myself, I arrange these pure fields of the three times. I actually establish them on a single atom. So again, we have this establishment on one single atom, establishing the variety of those things. And I do that in all exceptions, without exception, excuse me, in all directions.
Ojida dinayimayinida di yugunida jiba, di jinizabi tidendu ala mumbas. 我就得地震的这把，他那个地震的这把，妈妈我地震，把地震的这把，第三个上级他们几个，嘛就像哥们儿们讲说，要么就到要么地震的嘛，住他把的，地震的，我就得是就出国了，搁了把的，听着那说不，就是说人的把那说把，忍住计划的，出不了，得到广告个装的，听着偶尔小声的，没那得把地震的那咋办呢？ 光要马修，就点着嘛呢？得到人把上街过路，娘人的外边的，现在都我不根据装的，等就我，我的嗯，马王把马修兵就点着米，今年就要把地道人把人参加吧，参加呢在取经过路过吧，这要就先来来呢取过路过吧，先来来呢娘人的地方，先来来呢嘛就先问他了一个，我就到点着跟这边今年东，这个马王把上街他们几个人这边今年东吧。
Now we move into the next one, number 8, aspiration to go in the direction of the Tathagatas. And this one actually expresses one wish to be able to go into the places where future Buddhas will reach enlightenment and be there, have access into the activities of all the future Buddhas, to see them teaching, to receive their blessings, to make offerings in front of them, and so forth. So verse number 35 says, moreover, I proceed in front of all the protectors, the future beacons of the world. As they gradually become enlightened, they turn the wheels of Dharma and demonstrate the conclusion of Paranirvana's intense peace. One has the aspiration to meet the Buddhas of the three times, and that of course includes the future Buddhas, those who are gradually now reaching to the point of enlightenment. And once one has the fortune to proceed in their Buddha fields, will find each Buddha engaging in different activities. Some of them will be turning the wheel of Dharma, some of them will demonstrating passing into Paranirvana, others will be engaging in other deeds. We know that we have this group of these 12 types of the deeds of the Buddha. So imagine if you were able to go into countless realms, you would be able to see all these 12 deeds repeated countless times. And in each one of these occasions, you will have the opportunity to proceed in front of the Buddha, prostrate, make offerings, request them to teach, offer your service, and so forth. So this is the aspiration here. We move into the next part, which is the aspiration to establish the 10 strengths of bodhisattvas. This is described in two verses, verse 36 and 37. In total, we, as you can see from the title, we have 10 of those strengths. It says the strength of swift miracles. This is the first one. The second one is the strength of the vehicle, which is the door of all. The third one, the strength of contact of all qualities. The fourth one, the strength of love, which is all pervasive. So one, two, three, four. The fifth one is the strength of merit, which is virtuous in all aspects. The sixth one is the strength of primordial awareness, which is free of attachment. The seventh one is the strength of wisdom. The eighth one is the strength of method. The ninth one is the strength of concentration. And the last one, the tenth one, is the one appearing in the last line where it says, may I attain pure strength of enlightenment, such as this. The strength of enlightenment is the tenth one. Now, we look at the first one, which refers to the strength of all swift miracles. So we're talking about different types of miraculous powers. And in particular, these are powers that are found below the seventh ground, so all the way from the first to the seventh ground. And they are actually three types of these miracles. The first one is the miracle or the miraculous strength of being able to proceed very quickly, to go very quickly into the place where the Buddhas are abiding and giving teachings. The second one is to be able to present them with different types of offerings. And the third one is the miracle of having the strength to mature the minds of sentient beings, to liberate, to free sentient beings in this way. So these are actually the three types of miraculous strengths that are included. And they all have this characteristic of being swift, of bringing the result quickly.
Oggi da dina yamba yindu da dino ziga diyo wari da dini yonte ji tapu tapu da ndesu ririri ni shiwa yuwari di oggi da di tanga tamar shuna di duwa jina mata yanti soyan na yamandi.
And there is not enough time to actually give you full explanation in each one of those 10 strengths, so it's going to be a mere enumeration from now on.
Oji だてにだんで、だにだんで、だ、ずんば念仏ばせじてざわらんな。おじだんでそんよわり。じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、じ、 我的另一半个都记得，我的另一半个里里里个主要是就对了，这个这个男班那时候忙不济，我印度对刚个肯定着我，这个呢都不信着我样子，到不了写吧记得，然后女方个这个忙不有啊，女方个都记得，然后日里日里里面肯定讲了第一年不等吧记，跟着男班人讲不了写吧记，我的等你要把就记下来，你当女方你你咱们的有爸妈是，他都记得我是，都记得样子上个有啊的，听着个都都说，我都不信着我没办法写吧的。 没办法写不，你不，那第三个年不，第三部小不，也是讲究三百，管他三部小不，没那么个多些有吧？电脑些嘛就，要是做不了这两个的，没那么讲那个有定。
So as we're saying, you just have to be satisfied with just with the mere enumeration, the mere mention of the remaining of those nine strengths. And we move into the next part, which is establishing the antidotes. It's the third subdivision. It is presented on verse number 38. It says, may I thoroughly purify the strength of actions and utterly destroy the strength of afflictions, render the strength of demons powerless and complete the strength of noble conduct. So we understand here that, of course, one has a number of very auspicious and noble aspirations, but there are always obstacles. There are always opposing powers and forces, and one needs to generate the antidote in order to overcome whatever is causing an obstacle to one's path. And first, the first one that is mentioned here is karma, is different types of actions. Negative actions are a big obstacle. And one has the wish to be able to purify, to remove the strength of these negative actions. The second one, of course, that is causing trouble for us is afflictions. May I be able to destroy the strength of afflictions. And apart from actions and afflictions, there are always the four classes of demons that can cause obstacles at any time. May I be able to render the strength of these demons powerless. And finally, to complete the strength of noble contact is through the power of one's aspiration, through the power of this prayer, that one wishes to generate these strong antidotes towards the obstructing forces and to be able to complete the contact, the path.
Hoji da dina ji da da dini da jiva di changju sanpa mara ji changju sanpa mara da chokli na wo shi chokli na ya di odan dana tsava rong na hoji da yinji mara ji jamsu menjian go ji tongka jin ra ji wa di te yindu dana xianam jamsu nabar tau ji na samjian jamsu tangna nabar xunam jamsu rabdun tong ji na yi jamsu rabdun tabar ji sa ji da war di xolo ka ji ဒီအောင်နိုင်အောင်ချုပ်ပဲကြံစုနံပါတ်တောက်ကြီးကြောင့်မနောကြံစုရပ်တဲ့သဘောကြီးဆောင်းကြီးကြံစုရပ်တဲ့ကြောင့်ကြောင့်ကြံစုမချွတ်ရှိပါတယ်ကြောစင်းတယ်ဟိုတဲ့ချလို့ကညီဝါရင်သူဟိုကြီးတဲ့ဆောင်းကြီးတောင်းမဲ့ပါကြံစုတဲ့ဟိုကြီးရှိုးရတဲ့မှာငေါ့စံတဲ့ထောင်းရရှိတဲ့တောက်ပါရှိပါကြည့်တော့တဲ့ကြံစုတောင်းပေါ်တဲ့ကြံစုညီဝါဒီတေတောက်ကတုတ်ကြီးကြီးနံကင်းထားတော့ညံပါစံချင်းကြံစု
Now we continue with the fourth part, which is the Bodhisattva deeds, and this is presented in verses 39 and 40, and we should be able to enumerate eight oceans in that. It says, I will purify an ocean of fields, liberate an ocean of sentient beings, see thoroughly an ocean of dharmas, and comprehend an ocean of primordial awareness. I will perform an ocean of pure contacts, complete an ocean of prayers, make offerings to an ocean of Buddhas, for an ocean of eons, without becoming weary. So first of all, we say that one will be able to purify an ocean of fields, of Buddha fields, right? This activity of purification and establishing Buddha fields, the first ocean. And one will be able to engage in activities that will bring about the liberation of countless sentient beings. The second ocean is the ocean of sentient beings. One will be able to see and to expose a notion of dharmas, because of course sentient beings have different needs, so different types of dharmas need to be presented to them. The third is the ocean of dharma. The fourth one is a notion of primordial awareness, because all these dharmas have to be comprehended through different types of mind, through different types of primordial awarenesses. Now the fifth one is to perform a notion of pure contacts, and I perform those through amassing my two accumulations of merit and wisdom. These two allow me to engage in these activities. And in order for all those things to be actualized, I need to offer a notion of prayers, hundreds and thousands and billions of different prayers. This is the sixth ocean. The seventh one is to be able to make an ocean of offerings to an ocean of Buddhas, actually. The ocean of Buddhas who receive these offerings is the seventh one. And finally, may I be able to do that, not just in an instant, not just for a limited time, but may I be able to do this for an ocean of time, which is the eighth ocean, without ever being tired of it.
Hoji da dina jida, da dini da nyua shangju sanbi jisa loba, da ndo tambo, da jini ji ri tijin sabi jisa loba na nyi yoba ri tijin sabi jisa loba di da di akma yinba yin, da shangju sanbi jisa loba ji jasi shangju sanba nam ji mara, nam tar kong jini ji yoba di jisa loba tabi akwa monam yinba yin du, saba na hoji da dini jiba kanji si ji
Now we're coming to the fifth part of the text, which is actually training in the footsteps of others. And this is divided in two parts, training in the footsteps of Tathagatas and training in the footsteps of Bodhisattvas. Verse number 41 is showing us how to actually follow the example of Tathagatas. It says, all the conquerors of the three times became enlightened through the noble contact and the particular prayers of enlightened contact. I will complete all this without exception. So one comes to understand that one looks at the Buddhas of the three times and wonders how they have all reached the enlightenment. Well, they did it by engaging in an ocean of various beneficial activities, in this ocean of contact. And they also did it by offering countless prayers. So setting this as one example, one says, I will train in their footsteps. I will do exactly as they did. So I will perform an ocean of contacts and I will offer all these prayers myself.
Now that Nitindrago, Kua Tedon Tombra, Doctor Monam, Tindra, Chirchi, Senator, Moguyo Dim.
Now, we move with the second part, which is training in the footsteps of bodhisattvas. And as we say, you know, really, actually, those verses, they show the aspiration of every bodhisattvas who are on different stages. We have verses 42, 43, and 44. We start with 42. It says, "The eldest of all conqueror sons is called Samantabhadra. In order to practice with a skill similar to his, I dedicate fully all these virtues to purify body, speech, and mind, to purify contact, and to thoroughly purify fields. May I do a dedication that is similar to his, noble and skillful one. In order to practice totally virtuous contact, I will practice Manjushri's prayer, and without becoming weary in future eons, I will complete their actions without exception." We come to the first verse, verse number 42, where we have the name of Samantabhadra named here. Samantabhadra, that is translated as noble in every way, good in every aspect. We mentioned the other day that actually the entourage of the Buddha is made up by countless sentient beings, and of course there were countless bodhisattvas within those beings, but there was a closer circle of those, the eight sons of the Buddha, the close disciples. They were all of them bodhisattvas, such as Jinrezik and Manjushri and Samantabhadra. And it is said that from amongst those, Samantabhadra was the one who was the most skillful one. And this is why he had this name, Samantabhadra, good in every aspect. So one generates the aspiration that says, if Samantabhadra was the most skillful of them all, may I be able to practice in a way that is skillful according to his skill. Now we come to verse number 43, where we have the mention of the five purifications, or the objects to be purified. First one is the body, the second one the speech, the third one the mind, the fourth one is the conduct, and the fifth one is the purification of fields. Now, bodhisattvas undergo this training that allows them to totally purify, for example, their bodies. Every atom of their body is totally purified. When we talk about purifying their speech, they're able to purify and enable their speech to reach into every direction of this world, wherever they are sentient beings, and reach out into those sentient beings and benefit them through the teachings. When we talk about the purification of the mind of the bodhisattvas, they come to the point where in an instant their mind can engage emptiness as well as all other dharmas and completely, thoroughly comprehend the meaning of every object of knowledge. Now, when we talk about the purification of conduct, we're talking about the amassing the two types of accumulation of merit and wisdom, and through the force of these two, bodhisattvas are able to engage in conduct of activities such as reaching sentient beings, benefiting them, engaging in beneficial activities. And on the basis of these first four types of purification, eventually they are capable of thoroughly purifying the fields into which they will attain their future enlightenment. So one of course, makes the dedication, one does this dedication, that one will be able to purify, to bring about these five types of purities, and that one's dedication and one's prayer will also be a skillful one. We come to verse number 44, where we have the mention of Bodhisattva Manjushri's name here. And the reason for that is because actually the Bodhisattva Manjushri had made an oath, had made a promise in front of the king who was called the king of the sky. And he said that as long as samsara existed, he would continue to work towards benefiting sentient beings in his particular way. And As we say here, it is not only that we want to follow the example of Samantabhadra, who was so skillful, but we also wish to follow the example of Manjushri and to follow his prayers, to follow his activities, and without ever becoming tired, to continue exerting oneself in this type of contact. We come to the last part of this particular subdivision, which is the meaning of all these verses in brief. It's presented in verse number 45. It says, may this pure conduct be without measure, may qualities not be restricted by any measure, and by abiding in this immeasurable conduct, may I set forth emanation. So you see here the word measure is repeated three times. And when we talk about measure, we can talk about different types of measure. You can measure things by number, you can measure things by time, you can measure things by giving a similar example. But the prayer and the aspiration is that may my activities, may my qualities surpass any known measure. May I never be limited by time, may I never be limited, let's say, may never be an upper limit to my efforts and to the qualities, to the level I will achieve. May I surpass every limit that is known.
Ojida
Welcome to the next part of the text, which is giving us the measure of the established result of this prayer. And again, you will see that there is one particular word that is repeated through those lines. We're dealing with verse number 46, which says, sentient beings are as limitless as the expanse of limitless space. May my aspiration prayer be as limitless as the limitless karma and afflictions of them all. So the purpose of doing all these prayers is in order to be able to benefit sentient beings. And one has to understand that sentient beings are limitless. Therefore, the measure or the vastness of one's prayers and efforts should also be limitless, because one's efforts are directed towards eliminating this karma, these afflictions of sentient beings. Since sentient beings are limitless, also their karma and their afflictions are limitless. So this shows us an idea of the measure, or actually of the vastness of this aspiration. So it says, may my prayers also be limitless.
ဒီနိဒာနိဝရန္တနာတာကျွန်တော်တို့သမ္မာနာကျင်တို့ဘဝကြီးမောနံဗံတော့တောင်းမေပါညီမောနံဗံတော့တောင်းမေပါဒီညီမောနံချင်းဘူးကြီးနောင်ဝဒုစီကြီးမောနံချင်းဝဒီတောင်းရတယ်ဒီကြစီရှိပါလိဒါတေရီရီနိရှင်နာတဲ့ဒီဒီဆုံးတဲ့ယူဆမ်းပါလိဒါချမတေဆိုဇကတိနာတိကြီးတင်းဒီဝကြီးနာဒါတေအောင်နိဟိုဒီဒါတေနိသမ္မာမောနံယလရှိပင်ဖယောစီကြီးဒါဒီတင်းကြီးမရရှိခင်
So I actually have to that we have a part in our commentary where all these different verses, most of the verses of this text are related to the hundreds and thousands of prayers, and this correlation is presented by Arya Shantideva, but there is not enough time to go into these details. Those who are interested and have access to the Tibetan commentary can later look into this detail. So we need to continue with the next part, which is the benefits of having paid attention to this prayer. Now, when we examine the benefits of having paid attention to these prayers, we can see that there are benefits to be seen in this life and there are benefits to be seen in future lives. Dealing with the benefits to be seen in this life, we can see that there are four subdivisions. The first one is maintaining extraordinary merit. This is presented in verses 47 and 48. The root text reads as follows. Compared to someone who offers to the conquerors limitless fields of the 10 directions, adorned with precious substances, as well as the supreme happiness of gods and humans, for as many eons as there are atoms in the fields, whoever, upon hearing this king of dedications, yearns for supreme enlightenment and generates faith even once, will gain immaculate supreme merit superior to them. So we're making a comparison here, and we say, imagine that you have someone who is in a position to offer all sorts of precious substances that exist, as well as experiences of happiness and well-being of the higher types of rebirth. Maybe if someone who's able to completely fill the skies with immaculate extraordinary offerings and present this to all the Buddhas, if we compare the merit that this person will generate with the merit that a person that even once happens to hear, to listen to this prayer and generate the aspiration to achieve the states that are described here, even if they are capable to generate faith once towards this prayer, it is said that this merit is superior to the one of making these extensive offerings. The second benefit is seeing the face of the Tathagatas after abandoning the lower migrations and negative companions. Verse number 49 reads, whoever recites this prayer, aspiring for noble contact, abandons the lower migrations, abandons evil companions, and will soon behold the Buddha of limitless light. There is no special explanation needed. It's self-evident. The next benefit is obtaining equal fortune with bodhisattvas and acquiring gain. And in particular, verse number 50 goes into detail in order to explain this extraordinary type of gain and benefit that one will receive. It says, we'll live happily having acquired many gains. Things will go well in this present life, and before long will be like Samantabhadra. So we are to understand here that there will be great experiences of happiness, of wealth, of well-being in this particular life. But more importantly, one will be able to generate a lot of merit and get some sort of control over one's next migration with this amount of merit. So before long, one will be cruising along the path that takes one closer to the state of Samantabhadra itself. The fourth benefit is the benefit of having exhausted karmic obscurations. Verse number 51 reads, the negativity of the five heinous crimes and all those done under the power of ignorance will soon be thoroughly cleansed if they recite this prayer of noble contact. So when we talk about negativity, it is said that the five heinous crimes is the heaviest ones that we can commit. So it starts by mentioning, of course, the five heinous crimes, but also all other types of negativities that are created under the power of ignorance and confusion. All of this negativity will be exhausted, will be removed, and after it has been thoroughly cleansed, one would be able to continue unhindered in one's path. All this comes through the recitation of this prayer.
我觉得你那也没用的，他听到他们同居了。我觉得从不去把毛那么一来，喜欢朋友，一点点着的。但就爱什么那么近朋友，东北地了，我得记得过当，留意地方，你有把人对东北记得过毛那么的。我觉得东北的早晚的呢，一起到呢，走到城南，到路上看到那么多的么人，得到么多么不的么，他们就在东北跟那，就把这节日是那的。 我觉得从不去把毛那么多，得了一等些吧。我们所有人呢，娘们几万人呢，才有什么那么子样。我觉得那他当米，主要是光对鸡酱，如果你那么大，同米的没人去不，一些不怎么做吧，一些当的是的，一些不怎么做吧，做不呀。我在等你这个总部没人做不呀。我觉得等你村总部没人做不呀。我觉得那顶着那什么过年，日当看到那当的没人去，等你养就去吃饱了，得当没到位忙不。
So we have seen already four different types of benefits that we will be able to observe in this very lifetime by relying on the practice of the recitation of this prayer. And we continue now with benefits that will be seen and experienced in future lives. Some of them have to do with causes, some of them have to do with results. We start, first of all, with the ones related to causes, assumed causes. Verse number 52 says, will be endowed with primordial awareness, form, signs, lineage, and radiance. Demons and heretics will not overpower them, and all the three worlds will present them with offerings. So if one relies on this, on the practice of this noble contact, eventually one will become special. One will always stand amongst humans or gods. All the three realms will feel the beings of the three realms will approach one and make offerings. Why? Because one would have a special type of primordial awareness. One will have a very pleasant form, a very pleasant body. This body will be endowed with various noble signs. One will belong to a royal lineage. One will have radiance in one's appearance. And not only would one have all these positive things accomplished, but also when one tries to practice Dharma, there will be very little to hinder one and one practices. So it says here, demons and heretics will not be able to overcome or defeat anyone who has gone through these practices. Having explained the first part that has to do with causes, we come now to the second part, which has to do with results. Verse number 53 says, will quickly proceed beneath the powerful Bodhi tree and sit there for the benefit of sentient beings, turn the wheel of an enlightened Buddha, and tame the hordes of demons. So one who is practicing this prayer of noble contact will very quickly proceed under the Bodhi tree. If you recite this prayer with faith, with conviction in its power, you're getting closer and closer to the point of reaching the state of enlightenment. Therefore, you will go through manifesting the action of becoming enlightened. You will sit under the Bodhi tree, and for the sake of benefiting sentient beings, after you reach the state of perfect and complete Buddhahood, you will engage in the turning of the wheel of Dharma. You will teach in order to benefit countless sentient beings, and as you will do that, you will also show the act of completely subduing Maras and all other opposing forces.
어디다 된다 연다 연두다 디 어디 그 我在中国这边，毛南个次第，这个那个日子过，那看你们人东北他们老婆的，我在等你中华，这个一跟着吧，等中华提到了，这个南门老婆去就买中华的上几个嘛，日子把就带回去的日子把钱把提进，提进了一百元都顶着个上几门桥，这个提进了江门桥了，村里啊，提什么几个嘛，这些送回去。
So, as you can see, we have covered a part of the text that show us certain benefits that will be experienced in this life, as well as other benefits that will come in future lives if one relies with faith and recites this prayer. Now we come to the next part of the text, which is teaching the benefits of reciting the text. So here we are not talking about doing the proper practice, but even merely, you know, pronouncing the words of this text, they are incredible benefits. First, there are five of those benefits. First of all, we have the presentation of those benefits in brief. Verse number 54 says, the maturation of those who keep, teach, or read this aspiration prayer of noble conduct is known by the Buddhas, have no doubt about supreme enlightenment. So it says, whichever activities of those do, you might just be keeping a copy of this prayer. You could be teaching, you could be just reading, just reciting this prayer. And it is said that there are incredible benefits coming from that. The benefits are actually known and presented by the Buddhas. The Buddhas themselves have said that the ultimate result is supreme enlightenment. One should have no doubt whatsoever that this is the result of reciting, keeping or teaching this particular text. Now, we have already said that this King of Prayer is actually, let's say, a condensed form of a much more extensive prayer, which has the title, you know, hundreds and thousands of prayers of the Bodhisattvas. But again, when we look at this prayer, we can identify two verses that seem to hold the essence of this whole prayer. And these are verses number 55 and 56. In brief, they give us the essence of this prayer. So verse number 55 says, however, the brave Manjushri obtained omniscience and in the way that Samantabhadra too, I also fully dedicate all this virtue in order to train in the footsteps of them all. Now remember that we said that the Buddha had a great entourage, but from amongst all the bodhisattvas, the most senior ones, the ones that were the more important, let's say in this case, were these two, Manjushri and Samantabhadra. So one says exactly the way that they practice and exactly the way that they dedicated their virtue, I would like to follow their example. That's it in brief.
Do some
So as we see, verse number 55 is actually explaining to us how to do this, the dedication of whatever virtue we have generated by reciting this particular prayer by following the example of bodhisattvas. The next verse, number 56, is showing us how to do the dedication by following the example of the Tathagatas. So verse number 56 says, all the conquerors, the Tathagatas of the three times, praise dedication as supreme. I also dedicate fully all this root of virtue towards the noble contact. So it is said that all the Buddhas of the past have actually talked about dedication. They have praised this particular type of dedication, and they have said that it is through this deed of dedication that one is able to actualize results right now, as well as ultimate results, the experiences of happiness in this life, good migrations in the future lives, as well as the ultimate result of full and complete enlightenment, are all established as results of this dedication. So if all the Buddhas and all the Tathagatas of the three times have explained it to be this way, and they have actually praised dedication as being supreme, then of course one wishes to follow their example. One wishes to dedicate in a similar way. Now we move into the next part, which explains further aspirations, where it says, when the time of my death comes, may all my obscurations clear away. May I behold the Buddha of limitless light directly and go at once in the pure field of Sukhavati. This was verse number 57. And the next one, verse number 58, says, having reached there, may everything I have prayed for without exception be actualized. May I fulfill all these aspirations without exception and benefit sentient beings for as long as the world exists. Now we see on verse number 57, we talk about obscurations. We need to keep in mind that there are three different types of obscurations. We have karmic obscurations, we have afflictive obscurations, and also we have maturation obscurations. And one's wish is that all these three types of obscurations will be cleared away, will be removed, especially at the time of death. So when the time of death comes, one wishes to be free from all these obscurations, and especially to be able to behold the Buddha of limitless light directly. And if you're able to have such a vision at the time of death, you will be led into the pure land of Sukhavati. And following that, the next verse explains what exactly would be one's wishes, one's wished for activities when one reaches there. So it says, having reached there, may everything that I have prayed for come to be actualized. And of course, everything that one has prayed for has always been for the sake of sentient beings. From the beginning, everything was done in order to benefit countless sentient beings in countless ways. So it says, when I get there, may I be able, all these wishes and all these prayers of mine be actualized, and may I be able to bring about this benefit of sentient beings for as long as they exist. When we move into the next one, it's actually the fifth subdivision where it says receiving the prophecy and establishing the purpose of sentient beings. We start with verse 59 where it says, having been born from an exquisite and immaculate lotus in the noble and joyful mandala of the conquerors, may I receive a prophecy directly from the Buddha of limitless light there. And this one actually indicates the wish that one will be born in a completely purified environment. So one will be born from this exquisite and immaculate lotus in the within the mandala of the Buddhas. And there one will be able to receive, to perceive directly the Buddhas. And the Buddhas will prophesize that one will be able to indeed establish the benefit of sentient beings. Verse number 60 says, having received the prophecy there, may I send many billions of emanations through the strength of my mind in the 10 directions and bring great benefit to sentient beings. Rosh said, we don't need to have much explanation on that. Having received the prophecy, we want to be able to actually do all these deeds. Now, we continue with some concluding verses that at times have been remained, and although they were composed, we can see that remained untranslated in a number of commentaries. So we see these two concluding verses 61 and 62. They say, through whatever small amount of virtue I have gathered from making this aspiration prayer of noble contact, may all virtuous aspiration prayers of my greatest be instantly accomplished. Through whatever limitless immaculate merit is obtained through the dedication of the aspiration prayer of noble contact, may my greatest, sinking in the great river of suffering, obtain the fine abode of Buddha Amitabha. So you see that finally all the merit of generating this aspiration, of doing this prayer, is dedicated so that all sentient beings will be relieved from the suffering and will reach the state of enlightenment and will be taken to the pure field of Sukhavati, pure field of Buddha Amitabha.
That's a very good thing.
We come now to the last verse, verse 63. And although we find this as part of the root text, you need to know that this is not an actual verse of the King of Prayers. It is a verse that is added there by one of the translator who translated this particular material. The translator was the Lotsawa Wairochana, and he has added this verse where it says, "May this King of Prayers, the principle among supreme ones, bring about the benefit of limitless sentient beings. Having practiced this text adorned by Samatabhadra, may the streams of lower migrations without exception be empty." So, Ramchandra is saying we actually have come here to the end of the presentation of this particular prayer. It is quite important to give some sort of explanation to the verses, but you have to understand that the depth and the expansiveness of this presentation has also have to know some limit, because we have to put an end at one point. It is very beneficial for those of you who got, this introduction to this prayer to keep reciting the prayer. The more you recite it, the more the meaning will develop. Some understanding of the words will be, hopefully will be much clearer now. So we will stop with this teaching here. Actually, you can find the commentary in Tibetan in this series of books that are printed out. By Drepung Lhotse Ling. It is actually the seventh volume of that. And of course, keep in mind that there are many different commentaries, from the most extensive to the middling to the short. This seems to be, an easily accessible commentary. And I missed all the names of the commentators that Rinpoche mentioned. But there are many, there are a few. Let's offer the short mandala.
Yeah.